Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. I'm rounding off the series, Keep Hope Alive. Glory be to God. And it's the first Sunday of the month, so it's our communion. It's our communion service. We're going to take the communion to seal up all the blessings of this month by the grace of God. And we have faith in the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death, according to Revelation 12 and verse 11. Can you all hear me, church? Very good. Let's go to Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, and Romans 15, 13. Those are going to be my text. They've been my text all of these weeks. And this is the third message in the series. The first, we looked at what is hope. And by now, if you have been listening to me at all, you know that hope is confident expectation. Can I have an amen to that? And if you were here last week, we looked at why hope. And we said it's the anchor of our soul. It keeps the soul from drifting away on the high seas of life. During the storms and the vicissitudes of life that come to everybody, every child of God, in fact, every human being goes through very tough times and dark days. And when days are dark, friends are few. The Bible does not guarantee that because you're a child of God, you're not going to go through rough patches in life. But the Bible does guarantee that you have the victory. Can I have an amen? Yeah. And so I also mentioned that Bible hope does not precede faith. It doesn't come before faith. And that's what many people think. They assume that you need to have hope before you can have faith. That is not true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible never says faith cometh through hope. Our faith cometh when you have hope, first of all. No, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. You know how faith comes? It comes when you hear the words of Jesus. Can I have an amen to that? And in Hebrews 11, 1, the Bible does tell us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The word translated substance is the Greek word hypostasis. Somebody say hypostasis. Hypostasis means that which stands under. That which stands under means foundation. Another word for hypostasis is foundation. So we can replace that definition to help us to understand it easy. It says, now faith is the foundation of things hoped for. So faith provides the foundation, and then you build hope on it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Bible hope, therefore, is not wishful thinking. Wishful thinking does not need a foundation. You just wish that it will happen. Is your brother coming home tonight? Well, I hope he comes. That is not Bible hope. Bible hope is built on faith. Bible hope is built on the foundation of faith. Faith is built on the foundation of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the anointed Jesus. Amen. Can I have an amen to that? In the Greek, it says faith cometh through rhema Christos. Rhema Christos. Rhema is the spoken word. Christos means Christ. Christ is not the surname of Jesus. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So when we say rhema Christos, we are saying the words that proceed out of the mouth of Christ. And how do we get words from the mouth of Christ? Sometimes you can get it from an anointed teaching and preaching, like what I'm doing this morning. Glory be to God. You can also get it when you meditate on the word and the Holy Spirit quickens a word to you. You agree with me that sometimes you're reading your Bible, you're meditating on the scriptures, and a particular phrase jumps at you. That is the Holy Ghost quickening that word to your spirit. And you know, this is my word. Wow, I've been looking for this. I didn't know it was in the Bible. It's always been there. You've even probably read it before. But now the Holy Spirit quickens that word to you. He brings that word alive to you. And thank God we're in the Word Alive Ministries International. So when we spend quality time in God's word, the Holy Ghost quickens the word to us. And so your rhema comes from the Logos. Logos is the written word, but rhema comes from the Logos as well, like it can come from the mouth of an anointed preacher as well. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, when he was tempted by the devil, he said the same thing. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, but by every word that proceeds where? Out of where? Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me, church. Out of where? I'm preaching better than you're responding. Out of where? The mouth of God. That's rhema. That's rhema. Rhema brings faith. Every rhema that comes to you is loaded with the faith of God. In Matthew 14, Jesus was walking on water and the disciples were afraid and they didn't know whether it was him or it was a spirit. And he said, be of good cheer, it's me. And Peter said, come on, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. Let me come if it's you. And the Lord Jesus said to him, come, come. That was the rhema there. And on the strength of come, Peter began to come. Peter began to walk on water because with every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God comes the faith of God. The faith to bring it to pass. The faith to carry it out. God will never say to you something you cannot do. When he says it, the ability to do it, the grace to do it comes with what he says. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when he says start building, don't doubt him. Go and start building. Lord, I don't have money for bricks. I don't have money for cement. Start building is all you need to start building. Did you hear what I said? Why didn't Peter ask for a boat? Lord, if it be you, let me row on this boat to come and meet you. No. If it be you, bid me come. Come. And he started coming. You know the problem of Peter, like the rest of us? He was on his faith. And we go from faith to faith. But Peter considered the wind boisterous. The wind had always been boisterous. Right from the time the master said, come, the wind was already boisterous. But he didn't consider the wind boisterous. And so he was able to use his faith. But the moment he took his gaze away from Jesus, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Listen, come on now. The author and the developer. The finisher is the word developer there. Of our faith. As long as you keep looking to Jesus, come on, that's where your faith comes from. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. He took his gaze away from where his faith was coming from, and he looked to the devil who was trying to sink him. And when you look to the devil and connect to the devil, he's going to destroy you if you give him chance. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you really getting what I'm saying? Peter now began to sink. Normally, nobody begins to sink. You want to try to begin to sing, go to a very good hotel that has a swimming pool and walk on the water. Let's see whether you begin to sink. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sinking is not a process. You just go down. Zah. Straight up. You walk on water, you go down. But Peter, in his own case, did not just go down because he still had little faith. That was why when Jesus walked up to him, Jesus said, why did you doubt? Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Little faith. Sometimes the Lord says to you, but like he has already said, by my stripes you were healed. But you are looking at the symptoms. You are considering the symptoms. That's why you are sinking. As long as you keep your eyes on the symptoms, you'll be sinking. In my very dark times in the year 2023, the Lord said to me very succinctly, he told me very clearly, you are looking at the problem. You are looking at the enormity of the problem, and that's why you are losing weight. I lost my appetite, I lost my sleep, I lost my weight, which I didn't have so much. Ab initio. The Lord said very clearly, and I heard him very clearly, and I surrendered. He said, you are looking at the enormity of the problem. Oh, God, how am I going to get out of this? Oh, God, how am I going to get out of this? Nobody gets a solution by looking at the problem. You look to the solution himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lord, you know, we don't have food at home. Well, if you keep that as your confession, you will never have food at home. Another person says, Lord, I thank you because according to Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply how much of your needs all of my needs, including food stuff, including good clothes and shoes to wear, and my school fees and my accommodation money, my God shall supply all of my needs. It didn't say some of them, all of them, all of my needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody said, well, God will supply your need, but not your wants. Religious people. Religious nonsense. You know, God is not a waster. God is not a wasteful God. He will supply your needs, but he won't meet your need. He won't supply your wants because God doesn't want it to be wasteful. Excuse me, I don't even understand English. Psalm 23 tells me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Come on, shout it if you understand what I'm saying. I shall not want. People try to explain like they are God's personal economists. They are trying to help God manage his resources. Baby girl, God will supply your need, but not your want. No, sir. My wants, my needs, my desires. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Can I have an amen? Amen. Put that on the screen. Let everybody see it. Let everybody see it. Mark 11:24. Am I preaching good this morning? I've not started preaching, but I've started preaching. It all just gets into one another, kind of. Mark 11:24. Therefore, now, this, if you have a red letter Bible, these words are in red letters. These were the words of the master, the words of the head of the church. Now, there is no better preacher than the head of the church. Should we believe Jesus more than every other preacher? Okay. Should we take his word very seriously? Now, if you take his words very seriously, now put your name there as we read this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He just told me to do that. Therefore, I say unto you, what thing soever Fred desires, when Fred prays, Fred should believe that Fred receives them whatsoever he desires, right? And Fred shall have them. Now, but concerning you, look at what he said. Therefore, I say unto you now, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray. That's the time to believe you receive them. And you might or might not, depending on the economy of your country and depending on whether the skies are blue and the fields are green, whether temperature and pressure are perpendicular to each other. You might and you might not receive them. Is that what the word says to you? How come people confuse us? You know, when you pray, it may be a yes. It may be a no. It may be, wait a while. I've never read that in the Bible. If I pray according to his will, go to 1 John 5:14. Lord, thank you. I don't know why you're leading me in this direction this morning, Lord, but I know you want to bless somebody. 1 John 5:14. And this is the probability that we have in him. And these are the chances that we have in him. Is that what your Bible says? Now, my own Bible says, this is the confidence. Do you know the meaning of confidence? Have you ever in your life met a confident person? Nobody here. That shows me that you are not confident yourself. You see where the problem is? Are you confident?
Yes, sir.
Many of us are not, really. Have you ever walked to the office of your head of department in school to present a request? When actually you should go there?
Oh, HOD, no, I can't be there.
Like he has two heads. Every child of God should be confident. This is one area where the devil is attacking us. We are not confident people. Unbelievers are more confident even in God than believers. So they are supposed to be believers. It's just that they don't have Jesus. We proclaim to be believers, but we are not confident. In Psalms, you come back to this scripture. I think it's Psalm 78 and verse 9. He spoke about the children of Ephraim. He said they were fully armed, but in the day of battle, they turned back. God bless you, media. I love me PFE. PFE knows the Bible very well. And I love that guy. That's why I love to listen to him. Now, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, fully armed to the teeth, like English would say, you are armed to the teeth, armed and dangerous. Armed and dangerous. Yeah? But what did they do in the day of battle? Come on, talk to me, church. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Come on, talk to me. What did they do in the day of battle? Now, what were their arms for? Were their arms not for battle? Were they for a fashion parade? They got to where they would use their arms. They ran away. This is the picture of many, many of us believers. That's why when we pray, we don't get answers many times because we are not even sure that God is going to hear. We're not even sure that God is going to answer. This is the confidence. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence. Are you listening to me? This, are you listening over here? Are you listening to me over here? This is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have. Come on, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask some things. Now come on, talk to me, church. If we ask anything sounds like a blank check. So don't fight me for believing big. Many Christians will fight you because your mouth is big. Why is your mouth big? You are confessing big. You are believing big. You are believing God for big things. My God is not small. My God is big. Can I have an amen? Amen. They fight you for believing big. It talks too much. Oh, no, yeah. What does he have now? Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, but that anything has to be according to his will. What is his will? His word is his will. If his word covers what I'm asking for, if his word has promised me what I'm asking for, it says he heareth me. Did you get what I just said? If what you are asking for is outside the will of God, for example, you're eyeing someone else's wife, you're eyeing someone else's husband, and you are trusting the Lord that they are going to be your man. Lord, you know how you do your things. He's just going to be my man because I know he my man. No, that's outside the will of God. That's covetousness. You better trust God for your own guy. Trust God for your own babe. Can I have an amen to that? And can I tell you that God is not short of children. He's not short of bays and boos. For every child of God, there is a partner, there is a spouse. And if you can wait on him and trust him, he will give you your own. You don't have to be stealing a look at someone else's. Can I have an amen? You don't need to covet anybody's property. When God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, God was not, listen to me, church, he wasn't giving the commandment because he hated the Jewish people. He was giving the commandment because he loved them. When, for example, when God said, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife and property and stuff like that. Now, okay, for example, when he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you know why God said, thou shalt not commit adultery? Will God ever have HIV? Come and talk to me, church. You know why I said you shouldn't commit adultery? Adultery would mean that you are stepping outside the bounds of your marriage. It's saying, ask me if you need a wife, I'll give you your own wife. I love you so much, I will give you what is yours. When it says, thou shalt not steal, what did God mean by saying, thou shalt not steal? God says, look, what are you stealing? Look at how much you're stealing. That's stupid. You know, I love you so much, I have enough money. I have enough property for you, branded in your name. Ask me for it, I will give you. You don't need to steal from someone else. Are you getting what I'm saying? A believer should never be caught stealing. And we have believers in public offices as politicians, as administrators today, who are supposed to be believers, who are supposed to be Christians, and they are stealing. Even some are stealing from church. Church wants to buy a property. They send elders and some leaders of church to go and negotiate on behalf of the church. They negotiate with the people, and the land is worth $100 million. And they come back to church and they say, "Well, we got the land after so much negotiation. In fact, we had to pray in the Holy Ghost. In fact, the three of us held hands together and we began to brakatele korokotu kahade kakaka karo baba." Finally, Pastor, the man agreed on $170 million. Ah, Pastor, it was a battle. Pastor, come on. I can still feel the anointing. Pastor, 70 million extra. And the three of them had planned how to share it. And, you know, the pastor will release 170 million. Pastors are very, very... I don't want to use a negative word for pastors. We just believe. Whatever you say, we just believe you. And then the three of them shared the 70 million. 10, 20, 20. Or 15, 15, whatever. They share it somehow. And interestingly, one of them might still have the opinion or have a motive to even kill the other two and get the money. Maybe the money is in his own account, so he has not shared it yet. All right? He's the one who is to distribute, and he sends streets. You know streets? He sends streets after them. He sends assassins after them. Take care of that guy. How much does he pay assassins? Maybe 50,000, and then they kill two people, and from there they go to hell. Glory to God. And then he's enjoying the loot, and 15 years down the line, his children are finding it difficult to get married, and those who are getting married are finding it difficult to stay married, and those who are staying married are having it difficult to have children, and those who have children are discovering that they are burying their children. And you will wonder, where did all this come from? Where? I had the pathetic story of a sister, a member of our church, back in the day in the adult church, whose father was working in the bursary of the University of Ibadan. And every time she wrote exams, I think she was in medical school or something, she would fail that exam. She would fail. A very brilliant sister, extremely brilliant. So she had enough sense one day to go to the lead pastor to say, "Pastor, what is happening to me is not ordinary. This is not normal. People I coach in my personal tutorial, they pass the exam. I go in there, I keep repeating." And so the pastor said, "Well, we have to fast. Let's fast and pray, and let's trust God, because there's something when you fast, according to Isaiah 58, one of the things that happens is that you are able to break the yoke of wickedness," right? You are able to break the yoke of wickedness. Now, the Lord revealed to them, and maybe to the lady particularly, in a vision that she saw her father. By this time, her father was retired from service. Her father was retired somewhere. And the Lord showed her how her father in the bursary department was changing figures on receipts and invoices in the uni. He was changing figures. This had happened several years, and the Lord was bringing it now. And so she was having word of knowledge in a vision. Because word of knowledge connects you to something that has happened in the past. Are you getting it now? It's connecting that to the present. And then she came to the lead pastor and said, "Well, Pastor, I think this is what I saw. This is strange." And deliverance was conducted for her in this hall. And when the deliverance was conducted, the demon spoke through her and said, "No, she's my captive. I'm not going to let her go." Not every university failure is ordinary. It's due to laziness. Not every. Some are spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Some pure laziness. You spend all your time on social media, no time for your books. Glory be to God. That's for lazy people. But some are really hardworking, and they're cerebral. So what is the problem? Now the Lord opened their eyes, and she got delivered in this room, because the Bible says that even the lawful captive. What is a lawful captive? You are being captivated lawfully, legit. Your father did what he did. Now you are suffering for it. But the Bible makes a provision, Isaiah 49, that even the prey of the terrible shall be taken away, and the lawful captive shall be set free. And who the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes free is free indeed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Standing on the understanding, the foundation of those scriptures, the lead pastor was able to minister to her and was able to drive that devil out. And guess what? The next exam she wrote, she passed. Today, she's qualified. And she's practicing. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know why I went that route. It's not in my iPad, not in my note, but I believe God wanted somebody to hear. The more we look to Jesus, the better our lives become. Let me wrap up my message. I need to wrap this up. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. I've not even read my text. Job 14, verse 7. Though the root, Job 14, verse 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down. So I'm saying to you, if you're going through certain things right now that don't look normal, you may need to seek prayers. And we pray here every Monday, 3 to 5. If you want to come for deliverance, come. 3 to 5 every Monday, we pray. 3 to 5. Oh, it's a sunny afternoon. Well, if your life means anything, come. If it doesn't mean much, stay back where you are. All right. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. There is hope for every child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? No matter how dark your life may look like right now, even maybe it's due to what your parents or grandparents did, there is hope for you. Somebody say, there is hope for me. Come on, say it better. There is hope for a tree if it be cut down. And it will sprout again, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the saint of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Romans 15, 13. Paul the apostle said this prayer for the church in Rome, and for all of us. He had me in mind when he wrote this by the Holy Ghost. He had PF in mind. Now the God of hope fill Fred Elegbe with all joy and peace in believing, that Fred Elegbe may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Did he also say that about you? Can't you see we are blessed people? How do you keep hope alive? How? I have 5 steps or 5 things to do. I won't say steps. 5 points that the Holy Ghost gave me. Before I go to those 5 points, they are all embedded under 1 point. So if you're writing, write. How do you keep hope alive? The only way to keep hope alive that I know from the scriptures is through the power. If you're writing, write. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So go back to that scripture I just read. Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. You've read it before. Yeah, that's where the solution is. Many, many times, you've actually heard the solution to what you are going through. You've read it before, but you didn't know that was the solution. So you were still looking for a solution elsewhere. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you are in faith, if you are in believing, you should be filled with all joy and peace. If you are fretting, you are sad and depressed, you are not in faith. You are not in believing. If you are in believing, you should be filled with all joy and peace. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Oh, sister, are you trusting God? Yes, I am. And I know my God has done it, and I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Glory to God. That's somebody in faith. Oh, sister, are you still believing God for that thing? Yeah, I am. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on in my life, but I'm trusting him. No, you are not. If you're fretting and crying and weeping and being sleepless, you are not in faith. If you are in believing, the God of hope fill you with what? Come on now. 2 people came to church. What are you supposed to be filled with? Don't tell me joy. What did you have before joy? All joy. Somebody say all joy. Street people say all joy. No, that's wrong. We say all joy. Somebody say all joy. Can I see the joy of the Lord on your face? Glory to God. Come on, wear a smile. Some of you have not smiled in a long time. When you frown, you look ugly. Do you know when some people smile for the first time, you will discover how handsome they are? I've seen some ladies smile before. I say, oh my God, so this lady was this beautiful? Because every time you just wear a long face. When we were unbelievers, they said, typhus, you go typhus. When I was a guy in Mokola on the street, you typhus. As a hard guy, you know, they smile. One day I was walking down the street, I got to Mokola roundabout, where the bridge is now. There was no bridge there then. One guy called me. We used to call one corner Koito. That's the place for prostitutes. He was standing in front of their house. Me, I was going on my own. I was going to Queen Cinema. And the guy said, "Guy, come." The guy's face was hard. My face was hard. Hard met hard. So I went to the guy, Alpha. He said, "Who you dey fight?" I said, "I know the fight person." "So why you come tie face like this?" I said, "I don't even know say I tie face. Thank you." I walked away. I mean, I was frowning and I didn't know I was frowning. It was becoming my normal. But when I met Christ, I got a new normal. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please wear a smile. I'm going to show you from the scriptures today that hope actually rejoices. Let me not go ahead of myself. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, church. No one can keep hope alive by their physical strength or mental prowess. You can't keep hope alive like that. I got strength. I'm going to keep hope alive. I'm going to keep it real. That's why you're breaking. You're breaking up inside. When guys try to force it, they try to keep it real. I'm keeping up alive. I'm keeping up alive. I'm keeping up alive. Oh boy, you don't go with that. You do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by your power. You can't do it by your mental prowess. Psychology will teach you how to overcome depression, but it will shock you how many professors of psychology are depressed. If it's by being a professor, they should be the happiest people on earth, I'm telling you that. They should be the calmest. The chaos in some... I have nothing against professors. I love you all. Nah. Maybe I'm going to be a professor someday. Some of you really have hope. I like that. Keep hope alive. Amen. So how do we keep hope alive? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people think that by garnering awards or having more academic achievements and having more business success, they can keep hope alive. That's a lie. A man's life, Jesus said, does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. On the wall of some people, you will see all the accolades and awards and degrees from the University of Stratford, from the University of Kent, from the University of everywhere, and all the awards. And all the medals and all the honors, but they are depressed. Have you noticed that celebrities are depressed, many of them? Why would someone achieve Grammy, get a Grammy award, and then kill yourself in your hotel room? In America, it's been sold to them. If you're in Hollywood, it's like, man, you just got to be big. You got to be big. So everybody's running, got to be big, got to be big. And then when they become big, then they're big for nothing. Then they're asking the question, why am I so big yet so empty? Are you getting what I'm saying? They don't realize that there is a void in every human soul that only the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the hope that comes from the Bible can fill. People have Lamborghini in their garage. They have Aston Martin. They have Mercedes-Benz. They have BMW. They have I mentioned Maserati? The first time I saw that car was in the U.S., man. That guy zoomed past us. And those U.S. guys, they are wonderful. They will put some kind of exhaust. Their exhaust pipe, huge. And the noise. In Nigeria, this will sound like a spoiled bicycle. But that's what they like over there. In Nigeria, silence and eating Joe. Ewa Joe. But in America, they like to make that noise. How do you know that the big boys are in town? One Maserati zoom past us. This was in Texas. And over there, who looks at you anyways? They have those things. The kind of cars I've never seen before in my life. Every time I go to America, I see them. So in Nigeria, somebody now buy one Tokumbo Camry. You don't let us rest. Camry that is very old. One time, I wanted to buy a car from the U.S. I told my cousin, the one that my money could afford. My cousin, Tokumbo. I said, "Tokumbo, this is what I want to." Tokumbo said, "Cuz." Now, we call each other cuz because we're cousins. He said, "Cuz." I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is an old car." I said, "What's old?" We call it Mosu. Mosu in Nigeria. Toyota Camry, Mosu. He said, "It's an old car. Why do you want to buy an old car?" I said, "It's a new car here." Those things don't give joy. Are you getting what I'm saying? They don't give hope. They don't give peace. You can have them and you're still empty. I saw the video. I was showing my children the video of one Yahoo boy last night who was barking like a dog. They said he was a student of Lautech. He was barking like a dog. And you know Nigeria, when people are going through stuff, that's when they bring out their phones and begin to record. Nobody could help him. I wish there was a born-again believer around. I wish somebody could get there in spite of that boy's state and still rebuke the power of the devil. Nobody. They were all calling his name. Dayo! Dayo! And I was barking. And he was barking like a dog beside his car. Beside his own car. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. Your life is not in your iPhone 15 Pro Max. Your life is not in your iPad. Your life is not in your mansion. Your life is not in your designer clothes. Those things can go. If you have Jesus, that's when you have life. Are you getting what I'm saying? The guy barked and barked and barked and began to vomit blood and he died right there on the spot and they recorded the movie till the end. It was not a movie, it was real life. And then they ran away. I wish somebody had faith there. I wish even in that situation, because there is hope for a tree. Even if it be dead and its roots die in the ground at the scent of water, and we are the carriers of water. The water is the word of God. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. The water is the word of God. Jesus cleanses people, cleanses the church through the washing of the water by the word. And that soul went from barking to hell. What a pity. Some people think I hate Yahoo boys. No, I don't hate them. I hate what they do, but I love them. I love them so much, I stay in the night praying, many, many nights, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and I'm praying, Lord, save them. Lord, meet them. Because many of them don't really know what they're doing. Because if you do know, you will discover that you don't need to go to the devil to get something that God can give you. God has already prepared yours for you, branded in your name. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I like when things are branded in my name. I like it. Somebody gave me a water bottle. This water, the modern water bottle, I'm branded P-Friend. I like that. Some people didn't let me use it, but I like it. God has blessings branded in your name. Are you getting what I'm saying? I told them, I said, your name is not P-Friend. I'm P-Friend. They said, well, we are P-Friend. When you have a family, your life is not yours anymore. Amen. They control me. They come around and say, Daddy, sardine. I say, what do you mean? Thank you, Daddy. God bless you, Daddy. God replenish your account in Jesus' name. What else do I say? You know where the ATM is? And you know the PIN. They know, my children know my PIN. And guess what? We should also know God's PIN. You know, I saw a video when some guy was saying, God, I beg you, just try me, borrow me $5 million. Just borrow me. God, I will pay back. That is, God should lend him money. I saw a guy that didn't know God. God is not going to lend you money. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in how many things? All things, may abound to every good work. Are you with me, church?
Yes,
thank you, Holy Spirit. You wonder why people commit suicide at the peak of their careers? Why celebrated people, literally worshipped by other people, take their own lives? Hope cannot be derived from things. Bible hope is a product of faith in Jesus. Jesus is the author and developer of our faith. Have you heard of the word estate developer before? An estate developer takes a piece of land. It can even be a jungle, a bush. He brings his caterpillars there, clears the bush, levels the ground. Come back in 6 months, you are having an estate full of beautiful homes. Do you realize the kind of homes that Nigerians are building now? Very beautiful. Don't worry, you'll see PFE's home too very soon. And I am also going to see yours very soon. Can I get a good amen to that? But this place was a bush. What happened there? A developer, an estate developer, came there with a vision in his mind. You saw a forest, he saw an estate. And now it is called Aerodrome GRA. Bodija used to be a forest. In fact, Ashi used to be a village. If you look at some of the old houses still in Ashi now, you see the address, Ashi Village. Ashi Nibado. Can you call Ashi a village now? Jesus is the author and the developer of our faith. When he looks at you, he sees the champion in you. Others look at you, they see a failure. Jesus is a champion. Are you getting what I'm saying? I got like roughly 19 minutes to go. I'll keep to time, and the Lord is going to help me. Amen. Nobody can keep hope alive. Get that right. Nobody can keep hope alive by any means that is human. Because hope is divine. Hope is supernatural. Hope is a product of faith, and faith is supernatural. It is with the heart man believes, not with the head, with the heart. Man believes unto righteousness, Romans 10:10. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if faith, which is the foundation of hope, is spiritual, that which is built on it must also be spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it is not by might. Zechariah 4, 6, he said, thus saith the Lord. Thus, and he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord unto the expression house, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Can I have an amen? Yeah. That's how to keep up alive, by the Spirit. That's why you need to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? You need to stay full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. That power sustains your hope. You become a wonder to your world. When everyone around you is losing hope, closing down their businesses, you are making room for expansion. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Isaiah 54 verses 1 to 3 says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, let them stretch forth, let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. What does that mean? Over the years, I've thought about it. It means I cannot stretch forth the curtains of my habitations alone. God wants me to be so big, I need to hire people to do the drapes and stretch forth the curtains of my habitation. God wants your life so large that you become an entrepreneur and you employ people. Let them stretch forth the curtains of the habitation. Spare not. Don't economize it. Spare not. Some people have lack in their mentality. That's why they don't progress. They always think lack. I always want to think God. I think God. And when I think God, I think abundance. Abundance is the signature of God. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have just a little life. Come on, talk to me, church. have it more abundantly. Abundance is the signature of God. We have more than enough oxygen in this room. We are all breathing. Nobody has fallen dead. Nobody's going to fall dead here. Can I have an amen to that? It is forbidden in the house of the Lord. With all the oxygen intake in this room, we still have extra. That's the way God thinks. And that's the way he works. Abundance every time. Since we've been eating fish from the river, fish has not finished. We've been eating chicken. Chicken has not finished. All the birds of the air are reproducing. There is cross-pollination of flowers all over the place. I met hibiscus in this world. When we grow old and go home at 120, there will still be hibiscus flowers. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Everything is in abundance. That's the way God thinks. Do you know how many neurons make up your brain? How much of it do you use? When Goethe died, Goethe was a German philosopher. They examined his brain. They said he only used 0.004 of his brain. When Albert Einstein died, the man that came up with Albert Einstein, the formula E equals MC squared, right? That's the formula in physics. I mean, that guy was a physicist. When they examined his brain, they said he used about only 0.004 of his brain with all the inventions. What if he used 1% of his brain? Why does God do things like this now? More than enough. Nyafu, nyafu. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup is filled up." Come and talk to me, church. "My cup runneth over." Is God the waster? No. He wants you to be a blessing, overflow into other people's lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Shout, "I will never beg again in my life."
I will never beg again in my life.
You have more than enough. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
One inspired idea from the Holy Ghost can make you a multi-billionaire. One inspired idea from the Holy Ghost. And Proverbs 20 verse 27 says, "But there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty." No. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts of the belly. Job 32 verse 8 says, "But there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." From today, the Holy Ghost will begin to inspire you. Those of you that are fashion designers, you have been sewing many gowns, many garments, and they are just normal, ordinary. Come on. People see them everywhere. I pray for you this season. God is going to bring so much creativity that you will come up with one design and a woman of influence will send for you.
Yeah.
It is not by mass production. One message you preach somewhere. One special number you sing somewhere. It might even be in a fellowship where they don't have musical equipment. They just invited you. You got there and you almost got disappointed. Their speakers are bad. The combo is not working well. Baby, don't get annoyed. This might just be your test to cross over into your testimony. This might just be that one thing you need to do. Like Joseph, one more dream to interpret. He had been interpreting dreams before, but that day he interpreted for the chief baker and the chief butler. And that was the one that got him connected to Pharaoh. And that was what brought him to limelight and became a prime minister in a country where education started from, and he was not educated, he was in prison. I pray for you. That one thing you need to do, that one design that you need to send out, that one music you need to craft, that one playlist, that one keyboard session, that one hairstyle, that one makeover that you need to do for a client, even if you have to do it for free, may you do it.
Yeah.
One of the ways that the enemy cuts short the lives and the destiny and the breakthrough of Christians is to use discouragement as a tool. Discouragement. They may not pay you well, or they may not even pay you at all. The conditions may not be perfect. How can you invite me to a church to come and preach? I'm a big man of God. And you know that I love to speak well. And then your sound is crappy. What nonsense. I can't preach in such a place. One of my friends told me they invited someone to come and sing in their church. And the guy was asking, what kind of speakers do you have? Speakers do you have in your church? Now, Paul, you can confirm this. This is Pastor Femi. I'm talking about Pastor David Afolayo. He's coming here this month. We're having a men's conference, so he's coming. He's going to speak. He's been here before at our retreat, you remember? They invited the musician. They said, come and do something. And they said, what kind of speakers? Is it PV or... Someone will ask you, what kind of keyboard do you have? Some preachers will ask, how many people are in your congregation? What's the size of your congregation? Where's your church located? The kind of list they will give you. And when I come, this is the kind of... What kind of hotel are you going to put me in? What kind of food do you serve? Because they have gotten to a level, they think that's the pinnacle. Meanwhile, they have not started scratching the bottom of what God has for them. But they remain like that forever and begin to even come down because of pride. Because you think you are something. I pray for you. The free job you are going to do that will announce you, may you do it. Amen. The volunteering you have to do in an NGO that will give you the kind of recommendation to an international organization, which is very essential, no matter your fasting and prayer. That recommendation is important. He's not speaking in tongues in that place, but recommendation letter. May you do that volunteering job. Live in a generation where everything is monetized. If there's no money, I'm not doing it. What's in it for me? What's in it? Church, I have 5 things to share. I've not shared one. Why was Jesus never caught in hopelessness? Have you ever thought about it? Can Jesus ever be hopeless? Why was he never caught in hopelessness? If you know the answer, I have 5,000 naira for you. I just give you as a gift. Why was Jesus never caught in hopelessness? He walked by the Spirit. You are so close. Nobody got it. Esther. He prayed every day. Ah, baby, cute. Fusha. He was doing the will and the commandment of the Father. Thank you. He preached to me. Yeah. Because he himself is hope. Watch Siri. My boy, I like Barry God. Thank you. Yes, King. Why did you say it loud enough, baby? He was full. Not just he walked in the... He was full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the two of you, I'll give you 2525. Jesus was so full of the Holy Ghost, there was no room for hopelessness in him. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Quick, real quick. Luke 4:1 media, please. Luke 4:1. And Jesus... Read it, everybody. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he was always being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness was where he was tempted. Are you getting what I'm saying? I used to think that because he went to the wilderness, then he was full of the Holy Ghost. Because in verse 14, the Bible said, then Jesus returned. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. This was after he had been tempted of the devil. He went to the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the Bible says he did eat nothing. The Bible didn't say that he didn't drink anything. When you are fasting for 40 days, drink water. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't think you want to fast for 40 days right now. And I mean marathon fast. You're not eating any food. Sometimes when I do 3 days, I almost want to go to heaven. The last time just about 2 weeks ago. The one, another one is coming. Oh, it should even start today. Have I eaten today? Oh no, glory to God. My legs were paining me. I was limping like this, and I think it was Ibex that came to church. And Ibex said, "Pastor, what happened to your leg?" I said, "I went new." Now, the Bible says he didn't eat anything, but didn't say he did not drink water. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can drink water when you are fasting. It's fine. It's to help regulate your internal environment. But this is my point. This is my point. The Holy Ghost does not live in the wilderness. So don't think until you go to the wilderness to fast and pray that you can now come back with the power of the Holy Ghost. Go back to verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. This was before he went to the wilderness. He was already full. Are you with me, church? Yes, sir. So those of you that say, Pastor, take us to mountain. It's one mountain. My friend, don't go and meet. In fact, you can meet demons there. You can be full of the Holy Ghost in your room. Are you getting what I'm saying? Cornelius was in his house. Acts chapter 10, when Peter came and preached the gospel. And part of what Peter said about Jesus, Peter said in verse 38, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing how many that were oppressed of the devil? Because God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Fred of Mokola, Jesus of Nazareth, Fred of Mokola, Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed Jesus, a man, anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power, dunamis, power, self-charging power of God, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Are you with me, church? So this is how, this is the way to keep hope alive. Breaking it down, I'm going to skip so many things. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of hope. You know, you must know that. So what do I do? What do I do? I want to give you the five things that the Holy Ghost gave me now. Number one, I'm going to be very quick with this. Pray Spirit-inspired prayers. Pray. Number one, to keep hope alive, always pray Spirit-inspired prayers. What do I mean by Spirit-inspired prayers? Scriptural prayers. Scriptural prayers are Spirit-inspired because the scriptures were inspired by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:16 on the screen. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given. Am I faster than media this morning? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How many scriptures are inspired by God? All scripture. So when I take scriptural prayers, especially for the New Testament church, I recommend the Pauline prayers. Ephesians 1 from verse 17 to 23 should be your daily cocktail. Read that prayer. Pray that prayer every day. Put it on the screen for me, please. I prayed it this morning. I love it. Oh, I tell you, you pray this, something is going to happen in 3 months. You pray it, another thing will happen in 6 months. You pray it, another thing will happen in 9 months. You pray it, another thing will happen in 12 months. And you are going to be going from grace to grace, glory to glory. Stop praying some kind of prayers that are not scriptural. Every enemy from my father's house, what are you still waiting for? So my soul, die, 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 die. What if you are your own enemy? Some people have committed suicide in the place of prayer because they're their own enemy. They gave you a job, you didn't do it, you spent their money. Now you are now, they now caught you, put you in prison. You're now praying in prison. Every enemy, every enemy, every enemy, every enemy, die, die. I told you this scammer guy that scammed me, his church organized prayer. You know the theme of the prayer? Back to sender. It says back to sender night. They gather women and men. Oh, prakataba, haraba, that Pastor Fred, all the people that are gathering against our general overseer. Fire! Fire! Back to sender, back to sender. I was sleeping in my house. I sleep well. The following week, prayer meeting could not hold. Why? It rained, fell. The head of the prayer, her husband, it was the woman that was stopping the prayer. Her husband was making craft baskets. Baskets that they normally use for hampers. And it was meant to be supplying food. Rain came, destroyed all the baskets, destroyed the shop. The woman was making poultry business. The same rain killed her chicken. She was wondering now, I am not part of that prayer again. She was wise. She saw the hand of God, the finger. You know when God wants to come, you write the finger first. Shorael, mene, mene, tekel, ufasin. You are toying with my anointed. Some people, like Pharaoh, say, no! What's with the... Then God will show the hand with a strong hand. Are you getting what I'm saying? Pray spirit-inspired prayers. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Can you put that on the screen for me? I can say it all. I know it. I've been saying this for years. I know it in my spirit. But can we pray this together, church? Can we pray this together? Are we all together?
Yes,
media, give me 10 minutes. I promise you I won't go beyond 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. This is really good. I need to stop. I need to end this series today. Now, let's pray, everybody. Let's pray. That the eyes of our understanding, read, you can read from the screen of your Bible. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory. Now, see, what should I know? That I may know. That I may know what is the hopelessness. That I may know what is what? What is the hope? The hope of his calling. There is a hope of God's calling upon your life. God has not called you to hopelessness. God has not called you to waste your life. God has called you to the hope of his calling. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. What happened to Adam when he fell in the garden? Adam and Eve, the eyes of their understanding became darkened. They became spiritually blind. They were only seeing with the natural eyes. And it was with the natural eyes they saw that they were naked. How come they didn't see that before? Because they were seeing like God. Adam was supernatural. Satan couldn't stand him. The angels couldn't stand him. The angels said in Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? You have crowned him with glory and honor. When they saw how God made them, it was from the sand you made this guy. But you have crowned him with glory and honor. And you have made him a little lower, not than the angels. No, that translation is not very accurate. In the original Hebrew, in which the Old Testament was written, he said, you have made him a little lower than the Elohim, Elohim himself. You have made him a little lower than God, just a little lower. Because when God made man, he made man in his own class. God would call forth the things that be not as though they were. God expects us to function that way. When you have sickness in your body, God expects you to function like him. Say, by his stripes, I call myself healed. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
When you are broke, say, wealth and riches are in my house. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? When shame looks like it is coming to you, you say, Philippians 1:20, in nothing will I be ashamed. You say, Psalm 34 verse 5, they looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. When you have children, God expects you to speak over your children before they start talking, before they start running around. Speak the prophetic word over them. The seed of the upright shall be mighty upon the earth. Can you give me Psalm 112? Quick. Psalm 112 verses 1 and 2. Quick, real quick, media, please. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh, that feareth the Lord, and letteth greatly in his commandment. Verse 2. This is for our children. Verse 2. His seed, Tirenyolu Ailebe, his seed, Ontelu Ailebe, shall be mighty, not weak, mighty upon the earth. Is that talking about you as well? The generation of the upright shall be blessed. It is too late for our generation to be cursed. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
God expects us to function like him. He made Adam in his image and after his likeness. When God saw darkness, he didn't say, oh, darkness, why are you so dark? It would have been really dark. God said, light be, and light was. When you see confusion, what are you supposed to say? When you see lack, what are you supposed to say? When you see sin, what are you supposed to say? When you see disease, what are you supposed to say? Are you getting what I'm saying at all? Is somebody really blessed this morning? Back to our prayer. Ephesians 1, 17, 18. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Glory to God. Next verse, please. And has put all things under the feet of Jesus, and made Jesus, gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's my head. For you to kill my body, you need to destroy my head first of all. Jesus is my head. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Pray this every day. That Hagin prayed this every day, and he said in 6 months he began to have revelation of the scriptures. He remains number one faith teacher in the world. That man taught the body of Christ faith. Oral Roberts was using his faith like a mechanic who uses tool. Great men, great generals. Oral Roberts said you can use your faith towards God, or you can use it towards Satan. Whichever way you go, you get the result. Faith in God never fails. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those are the men I read after. Men that walk with God and walk in integrity. Not faking it. Trusting God for every need. Were there times they were almost ashamed? Yes! Were there times they almost failed? Yes! The righteous fall 7 times, but those 7 times they get up again. Glory be to God. Oh, jaboko for omo na bouncing. That's the believer. You fall, you rise again. Glory be to God. Number two. So stop praying stupid prayers. Stop praying carnal prayers. Stop praying. God, give me bread and butter. God, Nigeria is hard. Come and help me. Lend me $5 million. That's not scriptural. God can bless you. Doesn't have to lend you money. God is not a money lender. Number two, what do I do? Pray in the Holy Ghost and build up strength. I've said that. We can't say it enough. Pray in the Holy Ghost and build up strength. Pray in the Holy Ghost and build up strength. How come my time now, the time you gave me, you, I said, give me 10 minutes. You gave me 3 minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost and build up strength. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Can you take a moment and pray in the Holy Ghost, everybody? Now, be intentional about it. Be intentional. 1 minute. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That which we have said in the Holy Ghost, Father, will receive interpretation. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you are praying in the Holy Ghost, you are building up yourself on your most holy faith. And faith is the foundation for hope. You remember? So you cannot be hopeless when you are full of faith. You keep hope alive when you see, listen to me, church, that your hope level is going down. Take a break from the people. Take a break from everybody and go into a corner. Find a space in SUB and this to free house to shahad kete. Nikru has to kid it behind. Oh, yeah. That's our secret. Number three, what do you do? What do you do to keep up alive? Sing spirit-inspired songs. They keep the light of hope aglow. Spirit-inspired songs. That's why in this church I've told the choir, please sing songs of faith, songs of hope, songs of joy. Not religious songs that don't help our faith. Some people sing, pass me not by, gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Why is he calling on others and not calling on you?
That song is very religious, but is not a song of faith. Why would the Savior pass you by when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? If somebody says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and you are telling the person, please don't pass me by, that means you don't believe them. Did you get what I said? Okay, dear caller, Dr. Dear caller, and Brother King, I promised 5,000 before the church, and I said I'll give you 2,500 each. It will be an insult after the service for you to walk up to me, either of you or both of you, to walk up to me and say, Pastor Fred, please don't forget to. We just said we should remind. No, I just should greet you. I'm not passing by you. So the 2,500, sir. Now, for God's sake. You've sized me up, and you think I cannot afford 2,500? Abba. That's what we are doing to God when we sing some songs. We tell the Holy Ghost to come and enter us when he's already living in us. Wanu ubi o, kwa ba mi soro. O wanu mose o, mose ba o kusoro kugwa. O wanu Elijah, Elijah ba ino. O wanu waloto, because they were under the old covenant. We are in the new covenant. The Holy Ghost is in us. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you are telling somebody inside you to come and enter you. Are you brakata? You are Bruce Tooth Katapa. I'm reporting you to God. Sing spirit-inspired songs. I mean, it's not all Hillsong, Bethel, Elevation Worship. There are some Nigerian songs that are spirit inspired. Aye mi bola fun o Jesu. Emi mi fogo fun o Jesu. Lovely song. Spirit inspired. Oba to ni mi to da mi to mo mi o. Oba to ni mi to da mi to mo mi. Many of them. There are many of them. Like Father, I comprehend the love you give. Tell me, wait, now wait. Got my hands up. Give my KB. I'll be there. But you watch off the phone. No, 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 no. My son made me love that song, man. I love it. I mean, I have talented guys here. In the name of Jesus, your song will come out. I am telling you. I'm saying it by the Spirit of God. People here will release single and it will hit the world. It will bless the body of Christ. Spirit-inspired songs. Ephesians 5:19. Colossians 3:16. What do they tell us? The same thing. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. There are times we are persecuted now. People talk about you, they whisper. They whisper about you. Have you heard? You are the latest gist in town. But guess what? The psalmist said in Psalm 3, that song came from Psalm 3, 1 to 3. Put it up. Psalm 3. Lord, how many are they? How are they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. He was just singing the psalm. Many there be which say of my soul. About PFE. There is no help for him in God. Verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Psalms. Then hymns. Jesus sang hymns. Have you seen that in Matthew? Before he finally went to Gethsemane, the garden where he went to pray, before
He did the final sacrifice. He sang a hymn. Jesus sang a hymn with the disciples, with the apostles. He sang a hymn. When I get to heaven, I want to ask him, Lord, what hymn did you sing? Can you imagine Jesus in a service singing? He stood up and he was singing. They took the supper. We're going to take the supper now. We're going to take the Holy Communion. They took the communion and then they sang. I can imagine the song. I don't know which hymn, but I love hymns. Especially those ones that are a bit slow, not very fast, not tumba. Nigeria is tumbalizing every song. Some songs are solemn. We are losing the essence of the songs to tumba. Not everything is funny. Not everything should be played with. Ancient words ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some of them, they are Yoruba hymns. I don't know about Igbo hymns, but I know they will be powerful. The people that wrote those hymns had encounters with God. Amazing grace. Not the Nigerian version. Amazing grace. Gaga, gaga, bangra, gaga. Amazing, oh, amazing. No, no. Amazing grace. How sweet. The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once, oh, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. That guy, the man that wrote that hymn, was a drunkard. He was a slave trader, first of all. He made a lot of money from slave trade. But things happened, he lost everything. He drank himself to stupor. To the point that when his son died, a little boy, maybe 4-year-old or so, or 12-year-old boy, died. The day of his burial, they arranged the boy, they dressed him up. He went there secretly before they buried him. He removed the boy's shoes. He went to sell the shoes to buy alcohol. What a wretch. What a father. His son died. He stole his son's shoes to at least give himself his son a befitting burial. He stole the shoe to go and buy to drink. When he found Christ was when he wrote that hymn. I once was lost, was blind, but now I see. What a wretch. Amazing grace. Such a sweet sound that saved a wretch like me. I was a wretch. Now we take the song. Amazing. I don't care who is remixing these songs. Wait on God for your own inspiration. Don't be in the business of destroying what others labored hard to do. It's not about, this remix sounds better than the old version. Who's talking about sounds? We're talking depth. Songs that people will sing in churches. They will walk down the aisle and be crying and give their heart to Jesus. How many of them are listening to your tumba and giving their lives to Christ? They don't dance and sweat and go back with their cancer to go and die at home. Sing Spirit-inspired songs. They keep the light of hope aglow. Number 4, hold fast your confession. Hebrews 3:1. I explained this last week. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast your confession. It will help you to keep hope alive. It will help you to keep hope. Don't change what you are saying. I'm blessed and highly favored. You don't have money. I'm blessed and highly favored. Some of your friends will act like Satan's, like devil's advocate sometimes. But you know you don't have money. But you know you are broke. I say I'm blessed.
I say I'm blessed and highly favored.
Now say that's how you say I'm blessed and highly favored.
Don't come to me for dinner. Now. I'm blessed and highly favored. It doesn't change who I am. Hebrews 3:1 says the Lord Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Is that correct? Hebrews 4:14 says, hold fast. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now. Seeing, No. Did I say 4:14? Okay. Seeing then, good, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession. Why? Because Satan will wrestle your confession with you. Hold it fast. No lose guard. Tell your neighbor, say, no lose guard. No lose guard, though. Tell your neighbor, say, no lose guard, though. Satan will come. He wants to take your confession. No lose guard. Hold on. Hold on tight. Oh, boy, hold ground. You said gallant. Eh? You hear what I talk? I'll go and preach in worry one day. You hear what I talk? In the Pidgin Bible, I'm sure this will be no lose guard, though. Hold fast your confession. No lose guard, though. Don't you ever run yourself down. I'm unfortunate. I came to your house, but unfortunately, I did not miss you. I didn't meet you. Nonsense. What's unfortunate about not meeting somebody at home? Tell me what's unfortunate about that. They say it's English. No, you're killing yourself. I am always fortunate. If I come to your hostel, you are not in the hostel. Baby, fortunately, I did not meet you. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? If you come to my house, you didn't meet me at home. Fortunately, I was not at home when you came. Two sisters in this church. When I taught this years ago, I think 2016, one of them was talking to the other after service. Say, you know, for example, now let's say you are poor. The other lady said, no, I cannot be poor in the name of Jesus. She said, I'm not saying you are poor now. That's why I said, for example. She said, even in the example, I cannot be poor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Last point, number 5. Thank you for being patient with me this morning. You know I love you. Number 5. Because I love you, I want to serve you the full course that God gave me. The entire meal. Not just pomo, bokoto, eforiro, shaki, chicken, goat meat, which is the gofei, and pounded yam. I want you to get everything. Don't just get pomo and be running away. Are you getting what I'm saying? Number 5. Rejoice in hope. Did you hear what I said? How do I keep up alive? Number 1, pray spirit-inspired prayers. Number 2, pray in the Holy Ghost and build up strength. Number 3, sing spirit-inspired songs. Number 4, hold fast your confession. Number 5, rejoice in hope. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. These are the things to do as a Christian every time. Go to the next verse. Verse 13, please. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Be given to hospitality. Share some of your rice. Share with your neighbor. Brother, share your beans. Share your indomie. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have 3 weeks. Give one out to a sister that doesn't have one. You have 5 pairs of shoes. Let the Holy Ghost lead you to give 1 pair out. Don't keep your food. When your neighbors are coming, you're about to hear prakatalos to progodobo. Then when they leave, you bring out your food and eat. The Holy Ghost is looking at you. Tell your neighbor the Holy Ghost is looking at you. Distributing to the necessity of who? Who are the saints? The believers. A lady in the school of nursing some years ago joined us from a celestial church. The first day she mistakenly entered this church, she couldn't go again. Divinely orchestrated. One day she came to me and said, Pastor, there's a brother in church. I've seen him wear the same native 3 times consecutively. I don't want him to know. Pastor, I want to give you some money. And I added money to the money. And we got a designer in church to measure the brother and make some nice outfits for him. Till today, the brother does not know the person who was behind that act of generosity. We are not the people who do small things for people and will go on CNN. Come and cover us.
Yes.
As you can see now, we are giving these packs of Indomie to the needy. Are you seeing us, camera? Madam, come. You want to do business? You don't have 500,000. This is it. You know some people do it, and they call themselves churches. No, they are not. Do you know Jesus was a dangerous giver? Yet, not so pronounced on the pages of the scriptures. How did I know? The night they ate supper, and Satan entered into Judas. And he said to Judas, that which thou doest, do quickly. The other disciples thought, is he telling him to go and buy what they needed for Passover? Or he was sending him to go and give to the poor? Because he was always sending him, even in the night. Who goes out to look for people to give money in the night? In the day, go, we don't give. This is the spirit we have. So it's part of that scripture where he said, rejoicing in hope. Church, we need to rejoice. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because hope rejoices. Hope isn't ever sad or depressed. Hope is never sad or depressed. Hope brightens your face. Psalm 34 verse 5. They looked unto him and were brightened and lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Why? Because hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed. Every time you are rejoicing in hope, your face is bright. You might not have eaten before you came to church this morning. You might not even have what to eat when you get back home this afternoon. But can you rejoice in hope? Hope is confident expectation that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Shout amen. You know why I love to rejoice? Psalm 46, verses 4 and 5. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Yea, and that right early. God will help somebody early here. Yeah. I said God will help somebody early here. Yeah. There is a river, the streams whereof make it glad the city of God. Kai, you are the city of God. There is a river making you glad. There is joy and hope. When you see joy, look around. You find hope around the corner. When you see hope, look around. Joy is somewhere hanging out. They always travel together. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Hope rejoices. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hope rejoices even in the dark times. Hope rejoices even in the dark times because God gives his children a song in the night. I say God gives his children a song in the night. Job 35 and verse 10. Job 35 and verse 10. Job 35 and verse 10. Read everybody. God gives his children songs in the night. What is the night? The night is a dark time. In your dark times, in your dark moments, in the moment of depression, despair, trials and temptations, God gives his children a song. I love this song by Alvin Slaughter. God gives his children a song. Sing it again. God gives his children a song. God will give you a song in the night. I love the psalmist in Psalm 42 and verse 8. One of my favorite psalms. Psalm 42 and verse 8. Psalm 42 and verse 8. Psalm 42 and verse 8. Yet the Lord. Let's read together. One, two, go. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, what will happen? His song shall be with me. My prayer unto the God of my life. What is going to happen in the night? The song of the Lord shall be with you. Nobody said amen. Have you gone home? We gather there. May God give you a song in the night. May his song be with you in the night. May your night be short. May your night not be too long.
And while you are in the night, may God give you songs. God gave me a song overnight. When I woke up, I sang it from my dream. I sang it from dream into reality. There's nothing you can do, God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. There's no prison wall you can break through, no mountain you can move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. Oh, yeah, the darkest night, you can light it up. Come on, you can light it up. Oh, let hope arise. Death is overcome. Come on now, you've already. God of revival, come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Stand up. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. I woke up with that song. Come up, don't worry. I woke up with that song in my spirit. I sang it from my spirit into real life. I said, Lord, thank you. I know what this means. You just gave me a song in the night. I don't care how many people are talking about me right now. I don't care the whispers. I don't care. I care what the Lord has to say about me right now. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't care the lack facing me, the need. The giant, the Goliath facing me right now. The sword that Goliath pointed at David was the same sword David used to cut off his head. What they point at you is what you're going to use to overcome them. Yeah. They may criticize you, but God will advertise you. Yeah. They will think they are doing you harm by speaking ill of you, but they are helping to spread good news about you. Yeah. They will say it to the hearing of your destiny helper. Amen. They will assume that they want to destroy you before that person, but that person will say, no, I think differently about him. Send for that guy. Send for that lady. Amen. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Stay with me, everybody. We're closing now. We're going to take the communion. Let's read this together. 1, 2, go. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. This means there is nothing. No gari at home, no beans, no gas, no money, nothing. No meat in the stalls. What did he say in verse 18? Yet, somebody say, yet, I will in the Lord, not in my account, not in my lack, not in my sickness, but I will rejoice in whom? Not in my uncle in Abuja, not in my cousin in America. I'm going to rejoice in whom? I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will. Somebody say, I will. I will. As an act of my own will, I will rejoice. The last verse 19. The Lord God. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. The Lord God is my strength, and it will make my feet like hinds' feet, and it will make me to walk upon my high places.
to the chief singer on the stringed instruments.
This is an Old Testament scripture, but Paul brought it into the New. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in jail, but in jail, in the midnight, verse 25, they began to sing, they began to praise, they began to pray, and they began to sing. And guess what happened? There was an earthquake. And the prison doors opened. Paul took this nugget and taught it to the church in Philippians 4 and verse 4. It says, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Ayo ni no lu wa ayo eyi tokon re se dede ah eyi to tin yo oluwa. I want to ba mo.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.